The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, it tells us right off the bat here, in verse 1, Jesus told this parable to encourage you to pray and not lose heart. Praying is pretty easy. It's the not losing heart part that's tough. Years ago, I read a book titled Disappointment with God by well-known Christian writer Philip Yancey. The book starts with a quote from poet Ann Dillard. You don't have to sit outside in the dark. If, however, you want to see the stars, darkness is required. Then Yancey continues his book by quoting some of the darkest letters he'd ever received from people whose faith had been shattered by tragedy, struggle, and unanswered prayer. For example, he quoted a young mother who'd written describing how her great joy had turned to bitterness and grief after her first child was born with spina bifida, a birth defect that leaves the spine exposed. Medical bills and stress cracked their marriage apart. She and her husband struggled caring for their baby, clinging to life. As everything crumbled around her, she began to doubt all that she had once believed about God. Do you have any advice? She asked Yancey. He also described a series of letters from a young man who grew up in a Christian home, who tried everything to change his sexual orientation. Christian healing services, chemical treatments, even excruciating aversion therapy. Nothing worked. In despair, he finally gave in to a life of homosexual promiscuity. But he still wrote to Philip Yancey from time to time, seeking advice and asking, why won't God help me? Or the young woman from a stable family with a prestigious and well-paying job who sought Yancey's advice because most days she cannot think of a single reason to go on living. And she cries out to God, but sees no evidence that anyone is listening. I would guess that most of us, at one time or another, have faced deep disappointment or crippling sorrow or dark despair. And when we turn to God in prayer, seeking help, expressing our hopes and our fears, but we hear or see or feel no response at all, our world falls apart a little bit. Our faith takes a beating. And we wonder, why doesn't God do something? We wonder if he's even there. I was reminded of this Philip Yancey book because in both our gospel lesson from Luke and our Old Testament lesson from Genesis today, this issue of prayer of seeking something from God is addressed. And all of us, I bet, have sought something from God. In our Old Testament lesson, Jacob, the son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham, has fled from his father-in-law, Laban, after a bitter dispute over wages and property. At the same time, Jacob feared that his brother Esau was stalking him to exact revenge from injustices done years before. So Jacob, full of fear, fled into the wilderness. And that's the setting for this mysterious incident of Jacob wrestling with God. For years, I misunderstood this story. How did Jacob wrestle and prevail against God, as it says in verses 28 and 30? In my mind, the one who pins his opponent is the one who prevails in a wrestling match. But Jacob, of course, didn't pin God. In fact, God physically disabled Jacob. But in this strange episode, Jacob wrestled with God and prevailed in the sense that he received a blessing. Just like you and I sometimes struggle with God to receive a blessing or an answer to prayer. God blessed Jacob this way. He renamed him Israel, further confirming that despite the lonely and frightening period in his life, Jacob would inherit the mantle of his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. And Jacob's descendants would inherit the promised land. The Messiah would come from Jacob. All would be well. When you realize what was going on in this wrestling match between Jacob and God, it turns out to be not so strange. After all, sooner or later, all of us wrestle with God. And if we persevere, we discover that it's in our struggles with God that we receive our greatest blessings. It's in our most profound disappointments. It's in our deepest sorrows and our most humiliating failures. You know, Martin Luther echoed the sentiments of St. Paul when he said, "Through suffering, God works his mercy and salvation." A theologian of the cross, that is, one who speaks of the crucified and hidden God, teaches that punishments, crosses, and death are the most precious treasury of all. As St. James said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials." Count it all joy. Easy to say, tough to do. Maybe Ann Dillard is right. If you want to look at the stars, darkness is required. Which brings us to our very strange parable at the beginning of Luke 18, which Jesus told to encourage those who believed in him to pray and never lose heart, even in the darkest night. In this parable, there's a judge who's described as unrighteous, who's described as someone who neither fears God nor respects man. He was clearly unfit for his office, which doesn't matter because, fit or not, he was judge. And in his jurisdiction was a widow. And by widow, it means that this woman was not only without a husband, she was also without a son or son-in-law. So in that patriarchal society, she had no voice. She had no rights. None. Nevertheless, this woman dared to challenge the status quo. She approached the unrighteous judge and demanded that he give her justice against her adversary. This woman refused to give up. She persisted day and night. Finally, the judge gave her what she wanted. So what does it mean, this parable? A parable is an earthly story revealing a heavenly truth. And in this parable, the widow represents you and me. Like the widow, we have no rights on our own. We are dependent on the unrighteous judge. And who is the unrighteous judge? Surprise, surprise. The unrighteous judge in the parable is Christ. What? How can Jesus be described as unrighteous? Well, that's how the Pharisees described him constantly. And they were listening to this. And here's why they described him as unrighteous. He made it a practice over and over and over to forgive and pardon the unrighteous, the tax collectors, and the prostitutes, the sinners, people like us. This parable promises that God is on your side, the side of sinners, and He will respond to your prayers as you persevere in faith. But here's where it gets tough. Our ability to persevere is finite. Our faith is finite. Yet we're called by God to the exhausting task of persevering in faith. The good news is we're called by God, whose compassion and mercy toward us is infinite. For you who wrestle with God because of profound disappointment, for you who are weighed down by grief and sadness, for you who have lost more than you can bear, it's to you that Jesus offers rest and peace and forgiveness. It's to you that God offers His infinite mercy. Even when you're exhausted, even when your faith has failed, there is no escaping the unexplained sorrows and disappointments of life. But there is rest and peace in the midst of it all. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. He didn't say, "Come to me, and I will give you 5 easy steps to follow." He said, "I will give you rest." Rest. For the sake of Jesus, who died to atone for your sin, God will respond to your prayers at the right time and in the right way. There will be joy again. He has forgiven you. He accepts you. And He will bless you with rest and peace and assurance that all will be well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to comprehend what You have done for us, even just a little bit, and fill us with gratitude toward You and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.